live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 305. I'm your host, Brandon Reif. I'll be joined momentarily by my co-host, Jonathan Birdsong. We've got a show for you tonight. We've got a big show tonight. NBA, the world of the NBA is just, it's gone crazy, right? Free agency has been a buzz. We've got also a great interview this evening, former Purdue basketball standout and Indiana basketball Hall of Famer, Mac Gaddis Jr. will be joining us around 7:30 this evening Eastern time, so we'll have that and more. Can't get the show started though. My co-host John the Birdsong, JB. Happy 4th of July week. Don't burn your fingers off.
It's funny that you say that, man. No, today's not the week. Terry, get back, Terry.
Right. Yeah,
it's that week, man. 4th of July week, man. Celebrating America's independence, all those things as we go into Thursday, man. But like, man, we had to jump start Crossroads Sports a little day early. Well, kind of going back to our old roots of Tuesday night show. So Tuesday night, I don't know if the NBA world, I don't know if we could have win another day, Brandon. The NBA world just kind of exploded at 3:30 in the morning when Paul George decided he wanted to go play for the Philadelphia 76ers, man. So I know we're going to get into the guts of all that, man. But, like, nah, man, having a pretty good week so far. And like you said, prior to, you know what I'm saying, we do have a special guest tonight with us, you know what I'm saying, former Purdue standout and Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame inductee in 2019, Mac Gaddis is going to come on here, share a story with us. You know what I'm saying? He's a, you know what I'm saying, local product. You know what I'm saying? Played and was a star at Pike High School in the early 80s, and, you know what I'm saying, stood out. You know what I'm saying? When he went to West Lafayette, as he got recruited, went to West Lafayette, Purdue. You know what I'm saying? Everybody knows that, right? And so, like I said, he's going to tell his, you know what I'm saying, his side of, his version of his recruiting and, like, all that, and how all that looks, you know what I'm saying, from, you know what I'm saying, when he, you know what I'm saying, became a, and how he became an Indiana Hall of Famer, man. So, like, no, Mac's going to come on with us about 7:30, man. But, like, so, man, in between time, man, Brandon, what can we, or what you want to deep dive into?
Let's dive right into the, I mean, the show is basically all in the association, the NBA. The NBA is taking the forefront. Shout out NFL Network, though. They just got done airing and saw the end of the Colts-Bears Super Bowl from 2006. It was just on. So just watched Rex Grossman throw another pick. Sorry, Bears fans. But NBA-wise, John, I want to dive in. NBA free agency. And I'll talk about somebody that's coming off the champ. We didn't spend much time about the world champion Boston Celtics last week, about them winning the title when they did. Sure. But, you know, the massive contract that happened with them, Jason Tatum getting 5 years, $314 million super max to stay with the Celtics, mm-hmm. 29 mm-hmm. and 30. Damn, that's a lot of money. He's making more money for his player option year than what Roy Hibbert made career earnings and what Danny Granger made career earnings.
Well, I mean, Danny Granger and Roy Hibbert didn't play in the finals, man. They didn't do that. I mean, you know, and we know the economics has changed from right. even just 10 years ago, man. So the Boston Celtics got that mint truck, and they, you know what I'm saying, they backed it up, and, you know, they promised, I guess, I don't know if they promised, man, but, like, none of their important free agents got anywhere outside of Boston. You know what I'm saying? They even signed Stan Hauser. You know what I mean? So they had enough money to sign Derek White, which was at $135 million. They had enough money to extend Uncle Drew, which was in the $125 million range. I don't know where he's at. Porzingis ain't going nowhere. You know what I'm saying? Jaylen Brown signed a $300 million contract extension himself last year, and now here we have Jason Tatum. Man, I don't know. Kind of to me, Brandon, kind of like points in all directions, man. And I know people. I hope they call. Cause anybody want to listen to the show, listen to my voice right now, calling live right now, 929-477-3331. And if you want to debate us on the particular, I think even with some of these moves that Philadelphia has made, or even some of these moves, I still like the Pacers. But, you know what I'm saying, even some of these moves that the Knicks have made, man, you got to beat the champs. You got to beat the champs, and right now the champs is looking real good. They got all their pieces rolling back. They're gonna run it back, and I think, you know what I'm saying, the way they ran through the regular season this year. You know what I'm saying? I call anybody, you know what I'm saying, call up here, debate me, and tell me Boston Celtics ain't winning championships next year.
I think Philly has done a great job at trying to counter what Boston has. Obviously, getting a healthy Joel Embiid, they're it's gonna be all about health for the 76ers. Like you said, middle of the night, Paul George, 4-year, $212 million max contract with the 76ers. Eric Gordon also signs with the 76ers. They've got Tyrese Maxey. They extended him out. You've got Joel Embiid coming back from injury. If this team can stay healthy, you got to believe that the 76ers can contend, I didn't say beat, but at least contend a healthy team with the Boston Celtics going into this next season. I've got them ahead of the Knicks. I'm sorry. I've got the 76ers ahead of the Knicks just based off of paper. What I like, and obviously they're not played on paper, but you got to believe. Well, obviously, Indiana was initially ahead of Philly last year in the standings with injuries and such, but Philly got better, so they move up. I think at least second. I think they're still higher than Milwaukee, regardless of a healthy Giannis. I think the 76ers team is better than this Milwaukee team. I'm not seeing much improvement with the Milwaukee team of what they've done. You got to believe, I like what the 76ers have done, you know, adding Paul George. My only thing, John, he was very critical of the Indianapolis media. He didn't have to deal with as much the Oklahoma City media. He had to deal with Los Angeles media a little bit that was critical of him and his play. When he comes to Philly, boy, he thought fan base in Indiana was pissed at him. If he throws up some clunkers or playoff P doesn't show up, that Philly is going to be bad.
The Philly fan base, man, so bad they ran Tobias Harris back to Detroit. That's how bad. That's how bad free agency, man. He was like anywhere else but Philadelphia, man. So they've been on his head for being a quote-unquote underperformer, coming up short in big-time games for how many years that he's been there, since I feel like year two. I think, you know what I'm saying, kind of the criticism will be on Paul George. But this is a Paul George that still has to – that still will be – this is still Joel Embiid's team, y'all. You know what I mean? And he'll still acquiesce to that. They have to figure out how to carry the – like, I don't – so like, it'd be great, though, Brandon, what you're saying, if the playoffs started, you know what I'm saying, in November. You know what I mean? Unfortunately, they got to carry a lot of water before they get to know, you know what I'm saying, before the season starts and before the end of the season. That usually, you know what I'm saying, that's kind of where we see a Paul George, who did play 70-plus games this past year, but who's notorious for playing in the 50s. You know what I mean? That's where we see, you know what I'm saying, you're right, man. It ain't just Joel Embiid. I think it's Paul George. What they do have is a very young, you know what I'm saying, Maxey, who can win some games. I find it interesting, man. They went out on the open market and signed Eric Gordon. They had Buddy Hield already in their building, man. That kind of tell you where people kind of see Buddy Hield at, man. He's been tossed, passed around like how many times, man, and people just don't necessarily see
the super value.
If he comes back, it'd be for a different contract, man. I think that was probably the best contract for Buddy Hield, was right there when they offered him. You know what I'm saying? Wasn't it like $127 million for like 3 years or something?
Yeah.
They offered Buddy Hield before they came out, something like that, man. But they did offer him. So, but like Buddy Hill's still out here available, you know what I'm saying? And the 76ers went a different route. I don't think he's coming back at all. I think they signed Kelly Oubre, too. So, again,
yeah,
Brandon. But that's another Joel Embiid buddy. This is his second term with the team as well. You know what I'm saying? Oubre has had, you know what I'm saying, he's turned into, you know what I'm saying, a charter season, man. He's got defensive, that stalwart on, finally, I guess consistently on his resume or whatever. So he's there for that. They look like they can play the part, you know what I'm saying? They couldn't have their Carr State rivals, the Philadelphia 76ers, you know what I'm saying, just loading up on all things Villanova players. You know what I'm saying? So the Knicks had to do something, man. Excuse me, but Philadelphia had to do something, so they did it. I don't, but Brandon, like, I don't like the, like what you say and then what we also know. Paul George just wanted one more year from L.A. Clippers, and then he would never move. We would never, but, like, they, everybody played hardball. Everybody looked each other in the mirror. Everybody held their breath. Everybody stood their ground. They didn't give him, but, like, you seemingly, okay, Brandon, so let's talk about that. You seemingly found some money for James Harden. $35 million per year? Man, come on, man.
Let me ask you this.
If
I'm the ownership, I'd rather have him. I'd rather have Paul George than I'd rather have than Kawhi Leonard.
Well, okay, Brandon, but you can't get rid of your lemon clunker that's a Maserati.
Why not?
You can't get rid of it. You can't get rid of it because nobody – you have to take another bad contract. So, like,
man,
a bad contract –
Somebody would take him.
You'd have to do Zach LaVine for that. Nobody wants to take that. Nobody wants to take on that kind of – like, man –
Spurs probably take him back. Finish his career.
Who were there? The Spurs.
Spurs.
I don't – what – Brandon, don't get me – that's another conversation. That's what are they – what's the plan there? Chris Paul?
And they just took your boy Chris Paul.
Yeah, man, I don't – Brandon, don't try to get me off topic, man, but – the Knicks had to do something. The Knicks did something. Philadelphia reacted. They got Paul George. I do worry about when the media kind of grinds on him and the fact that he really didn't want to be there. He just wanted a 5-year contract, and he got it, but he really wanted to stay in L.A.
How significant do you feel – and it's sad. You know, I've seen all the videos play, the tribute videos. The songs with the comments and the highlights, man. John, I'm kind of sad a little bit, my man. End of an era of Klay Thompson out there with the Splash Brothers, man. It's we were all pissed when it happened that they kept winning. It's like, damn, I'm tired of these guys. Looking back now, you're like, damn, man, it's over. Like the and I'll argue it to my grave, possibly the greatest shooting backcourt in the history of the NBA.
Oh, yeah. You can say that. Get out. You can say that.
And it's done. It's over. It's a wrap. They're falling out. He's in Dallas now.
Right.
3-year,
right.
50 million.
From a business standpoint, did the Golden State Warriors try to extend Klay Thompson some type of olive branch, some type of like, hey, man, let's try to figure this out? They did.
Yep.
They did. The evidence is out there. Like, you know what I'm saying? Klay Thompson just got into his mind. And I get it, man. If Steph is making, and he is, Steph Curry make $52 million, does he not?
Yep.
He's feeling, Klay Thompson is feeling, hey, man, like, I'm probably hitting just as many shots in open gym and practicing just as hard. I get it. I can't shuffle like I used to.
Talk about that.
But you got to give me that money. They got to give me that money. He wanted $30 million, man, and when they offered him $50
million. Klay put up more clunkers than Steph.
When they offered him 2 years for $50 million, close to, he took it as an offense. Now you got to do 3 years for $50 million, man. You played yourself, bro. In the old school, I get it, man. You got more money than me. God bless America. But you played yourself. You should have just took the 2 years. But here's the thing, I don't know. But like they didn't, the Golden State Warriors. I don't. What did they do, Brandon? They put too much faith in a James Wiseman, drafting him number one overall. They also held on to these Wiggins characters and this, you know what I'm saying, some of these other pieces were supposed to like turn into something, and shame on me, they always show flashes, they never did turn in. So like again, that's sticking in the craw, right? I said that. Klay Thompson, like, wait a minute, all these kids came on here, they didn't work out, and then Draymond punches a dude and y'all won't give me $30 million? What in the hell? That's in his mindset. But again, Klay, like, they gave you, okay, but he got hurt, and they still paid him the money. But that all NBA contracts, but they, you know what I'm saying, NBA guys don't think of it like that. All NBA contracts is guaranteed, so when guys get hurt, like, they're out for that. But Kevin Durant missed a year. He got paid for it, full money. Like he stepped on there for all 82. But listen, man, this is sad to me because Klay got too pissed to the point that he couldn't walk back into there and understand that he made a mistake. He made a mistake, Brandon. There's no way I would play. I'm gonna pay 2 years for $48 million to go play for Dallas. You're gonna be happy playing for Luka Doncic. He's a ball hog, clearly. And if he ain't ball hog number one, they got ball hog number two. So playing alongside of him, man. So, you know, I know people are probably amped and thinking, oh man, Klay Thompson's gonna look like Chris Mullin when he played for the Pacers, you know, it's going to just trickle. He's going to get them back, get them over the hump. I don't think so, man. They lost. They got a lot of their grit. You know, Dallas was kind of a surprise team anyway, but a lot of their grit players, that you know, the guys that do kind of play defense or do got guys that draw the hard, you know, saying opponent, they lost them in free agency or they lost them in the trade. Mm-hmm. Josh Green gone in the trade. The other dude, Derek, what was it? Derek Williams, Winston, whatever. God bless him. Whatever his name is.
Tim Hardaway gone. Traded to the Pistons.
Tim Hardaway was good rotation for him in the regular season, and he kind of lost his shot and his confidence in the playoffs. But yeah, then you traded Hardaway. So I'm not saying the future is bleak, but like it's going to be a different. It's going to be an adjustment. And brother, you ain't the second banana no more. They don't have to give you the ball 20-something times no more. I think you'll get shot attempts.
Yeah.
Brandon.
Speaking of Golden State.
I'll let you pontificate on this, man, because I don't want to. Like, he put himself in a corner. I still would have asked Golden State. I would have went back to Golden State with my tail tucked in, give me the $48 million, and let's call it, let's just go with it, and I'll be back. You know what I'm saying? They didn't want to do that. He wasn't going to play with LeBron James and his son. I throw that out there, too. He wasn't going to do that. Go play.
Does anybody?
Brandon, don't nobody. Like, Brandon, you what? Does the ownership want to? Man, she that irritated me. She came out a couple of weeks ago talking about, I really wanted Bobby Hurley to coach the team. No, you didn't. You didn't offer him $15 million. And then he probably would have had to really think about it. But then with this, hey, man, I don't care what nobody say, man. I don't owe LeBron James nothing. I love him. I think he's a great guy. I think what he does from a social political thing, if we were talking social political and we not, I think, but we, if we say in social political LeBron James, man, I say let's knight him. I think he's great, right? Building schools, trying to get kids underprivileged to a better, higher place, right? I'm all for it. But as far as this crap, that was crap, bro. Come on, man. That dude had a whole heart attack, dude. His son had a whole heart attack at USC. And you basically paid for him kind of like superstar billionaire dad. I'm going to use my power, wave my wand. And it's crazy, brother. It was crazy to see all these people kind of like say, yeah, that was cool.
Well, that's my thing. Like, how many people on the team, now they ain't going to go out and admit it, but how many people on this roster are like, fuck, my minutes are getting taken away because I got a 55 pick coming in?
I know Smart Hooper's going to be like, man, what?
And I'm a big LeBron guy. I'm a big LeBron guy, but I think it's wrong, man.
It's a historic moment, but now the pressure's on the kid. Kid, you got to show us something in summer league. You didn't show us shit. Okay, I'm gonna be honest. Let's put our sacks on the table, man. Like, listen, Zach Edey could have went to Team Canada. He told him, nah, I'm gonna work on my game because Memphis took me. He takes the shit seriously. Number nine pick. Who had him in the? Who Brandon? Who Crossroads Sports didn't? I had him in. I tell he used me every day. Scott K. Nichols, our sponsor. Our sponsor said, I said he's gonna be a first rounder, bro. I said he needed to be between 15 and 21. Man, the NBA people said no. He's number nine. Hey, man. So, like, I say that, he's taking this seriously. This is not a circus to him. This is not, I'm trying to make a road. I'm trying to make an impact on this team. I'm trying to start. Usually, a top 10 pick is starting. Right, am I wrong? So, I get it. He's 55, but, like, the way the team is built up and the way the pressure is built up around your father and the way this coaching came in, and because they fired a different coach, right? The way this team is built up, we're supposed to win a title. We're supposed to be thinking title. I can't think title. Like, this dude, we got to think if this dude can hit a jumper.
This team did not get better. Their starting
everybody kicked back
on Rui and Davis.
Brandon, everybody got this wish list thinking that Jerry West is on somebody's dark other end of the dark. Guess what, y'all? God rest his soul. Jerry West died 2 weeks ago. Jerry West ain't on the other end of the phone getting ready to send you Paul Gasol. Or, you know what I'm saying? For Hood Schifino and Hachimura, right?
Yeah.
So even if you do trade D'Angelo, they talking about trading D'Angelo to.
They need to.
I don't know.
Him not being the first thing.
What's coming back? Cam Johnson ain't coming back. You know what I'm saying? That's not coming back. DeRozan? You trading? What's that for DeRozan? Man, good luck. I'm not tearing up the team. DeRozan costs more money than D'Angelo Russell. and the sign and trade. So he's like, man, I'm not tearing up my team for DeMar DeRozan, man. He got to figure out where he can play at. He the one signed that deal with Chicago. He got to figure out how he can get out of there, not before we can tear up our team. You know what? Because any team's going to ask for, they're going to ask for a bad contract or an expiring contract, which is D'Angelo Russell, and they're going to ask for Dalton Connect. They're going to ask for your lottery pick. And they're going to ask for who's Shafino. So who's going to play? You don't have this old team out here.
A free agent.
LeBron James, Cam Reddish, and Bronny, and Anthony Davis. Stop it, man. The coach. So UConn, Danny Hurley didn't want no parts of that. I'm trying to figure out that rotation.
Will you let me get this damn thing out? Let me get it out. Jesus.
Go ahead, look.
Whoo.
Close.
$190 million right now is their current salary. The tax threshold is $171 million. They need to shave roughly $25 million, if not more, of salary to have access to a 12.8 non-tax mid-level exception. Any sign and trade they do, hard caps the Lakers at $178 million, which is the first apron. Their starting five right now is Russell, Reeves, LeBron, Hachimura, and Davis. Your reserves are Gabe Vincent, Bronny James, Dalton Connect, Hood Schifino, who's coming off injury, Max Christie, Cam Reddish, Jared Vanderbilt, Jackson Hayes, and Christian Wood. John, this team looks like a top six. I said they
lucky to be six, man. The homies from the Epic Podcast, Jared Lewis, like lit me a torch talking about, man, there's no way. I'm like, man, when you go down the list of names of reserves, and you know how hard everybody leveled up, the Oklahoma City Thunder, they leveled up in the West, did they not? You know what I'm saying? Between draft night and free agency, I would say they did. You know what I'm saying? Guess what, y'all? Ja Morant is coming back. You think he's coming back sitting on his fingers? You know what I'm saying? Memphis is back. Okay, boom. Minnesota, guess what? They kind of got younger and maintained some of their core. I thought they was going to trade. I think they still might. I think Conley might have to go at some point. But they got the two young dudes coming off the bench. You know what I'm saying? The kid from Kentucky's going to play for sure. And what other trade? Who they get? Oh, the homie from Illinois. They got that kid, Shannon Jr., right? So, Minnesota, so where do you think the Lakers, all of a sudden, y'all done forgot, man, Denver's better than the Lakers. Man, Jokic owns the rental space in Anthony Davis' head. They have no ammo against Denver, man. The Lakers is the best, I can give them a six in the West. That's the best I can give them. But we're going to see what Bronny James got in summer league, man. He going to get the summer league tick. But summer league, man, summer league tick does not equate to, you know what I'm saying, NBA superstar. Anybody remember Anthony Merle? He was a summer league MVP. You know what I mean? Cam Thomas, summer league MVP. You know what I mean? These dudes are, you know what I'm saying, barely hanging on. Anthony Merle's gone. But, you know, you get my drift. We're going to see what he got in summer league, bro.
Anything else on the Lakers? You kind of fired up,
hey,
man.
Well, hey, you opened the can of worms, man. I mean, I can open the can of worms on the Pacers, too, man. They signed Wiseman for what?
You have to fill a gap, John. You don't even have Isaiah Jackson. You have Isaiah Jackson for one guy. You don't even have the enforcer.
That dude is a project at best. Everywhere he
goes. But who says he doesn't come out and turn some head? Maybe he needs a – okay, he's had the most veteran team he played for, right? The Golden State Warriors. He's a rookie going to a veteran. Hold on. I let you get your Lakers shit out. Let me get mine. James Wiseman.
You're talking about the Pacers.
He got drafted by the Warriors, correct. Number two pick.
He did.
Went to a team that was a very veteran NBA champion-esque team coming off of an injury for Steph Curry, and they had a number two pick, limped into it. The team, hard for him really to get any shots, hard for him to get any work really with that type of style in Golden State. Okay, so they get rid of him, right? They send him to Detroit, goes to damn near the youngest team in the NBA. Probably not the best setup for him, right, with the youngest team and not the culture, something to build upon with the coaching style, with the philosophy, with the team culture style-esque. Didn't fit there, didn't work. Indiana, who's to say this isn't maybe that middle ground he needs to kind of get him going, to work with a Miles Turner, to maybe work with, hell, coming in, some bigs working in there with him. who's to say this may be that spot where him, or he doesn't need to, hey, we're going to throw this out here. This is your number two pick. We need this. It's, hey, let's see your tools. Let's see if you can sharpen them. Let's see if you can work this two-year deal and maybe turn it into something else. And while you're doing that, you're helping us get better, maybe get some solid minutes when we need it, when we have Miles Turner in foul trouble or Isaiah Jackson in some foul trouble. I like it. It's a chance you're taking. Technically, the Pacers have the four of the top 14 picks in the 2020 draft. They had Wiseman at 2, Toppin at 8, Halliburton at 12, and Nesmith at 14. That's from the 2020 draft. I like the pick. You need to spend some money on somebody. You still have three roster spots to fill.
I know, dude. That's what I'm saying. I'm looking at the roster spots. So what is all that work? I'm glad you brought up all that. He done did all this showcasing for all these other teams, and he still stinks, man. Sorry, y'all. So, like, we got this kid they didn't draft in the second round. The second round, they didn't trade away their picks, Brad. He forgot about that. They could have just said trade their picks. So, what'd you bring in Tristan Duke for? What'd you bring in, Frumpy? Furphy for? What'd you bring in the other kid for, man? The kid from Akron. You know what I'm saying? You didn't tell these kids who then fell to the second round, hey, man, we might have a spot for you over here with the Pacers, because you know the Pacers is legendary. Pacers,
you drank too much Kool-Aid for that kid in Akron. LeBron James coming from Akron.
The Pacers is legendary for having a deep bench. They are. Having a deep bench and being a decent developmental team that tries to sign their free agents. I said try. Paul George made one contract here. So they try to sign their friend. How much money? You just said they gave Roy Hibbert $71 million. They gave him $60 million too much. You know what I mean? But the Pacers, I really thought it was a waste of money, man. Like, again, what kind of message that sends to your locker room, man? Because at some point you're going to have a cheap old conversation with Miles Turner. And he's going to remember, I remember y'all gave that buster dude, James Wiseman, 2 minutes of my 20 or whatever, man. No, man. Keep James Wiseman up out of here, and you bring in guys. If you drafted this kid from Akron and you think he can play small balls there for me, then show me what you can do in summer league, and we'll sign you with this money over here that we're supposed to give James Wiseman. Go ahead.
So it's just my thought is, obviously we're very heavy in a lot of shooting guard positions and, the point guard position. We're heavy guard related, right? I think we need to look – it's a project work. Are we going to get Jairus Walker? Are we going to get really anything out of him? Can he be a trade possibly for this Cam Johnson, maybe getting a proven talent like Cam Johnson in here? Who fits that wing as Paul George-esque type of wing player who could come in here? They're talking with the trade possibly with him. It seems like Brooklyn – they're seeking a lot of future assets. Talks have slowed because the Pacers are reluctant to get rid of the young core. I think you got to do it because I think the main conversation now as the Indiana Pacers, as Pritchard, is you got to start having that conversation right now and try to hammer out this new contract with Miles Turner. Because if you look what's out there next year and you look what's on your roster right now, basically you have Isaiah Jackson, James Wiseman, those are your two centers outside of our guy, Turner. Turner's last year's contract's right here. This is it. Final year of contract for Turner. I think we got to re-sign him ASAP before it gets – I hate to say it. I was so pissed at Miles. I wanted to trade. You've heard it. You can play back podcasts from 2 years ago. I was so pissed. But the value you got from him from last year, the way he played, the way he's playing with Siakam and Halliburton, I think right now project number one is re-signing Miles Turner, and you got to do it. He just made $19 million this year. I think that's project one. You got to do it now.
Man, I'm just having a little conversation, man. People don't believe in the Pacers, being a team that drafts dudes and then develops, man. But, again, I wasn't saying Hall of Famer. I'm saying good rotational guys like Jeff Turner. Jeff Foster, they got guys, man. Once the interview's over, man, if they want to call in debate, man, tell them to call in 929-477-3331. Right now, I know we probably got 2 minutes behind on our call. So, I don't know, man. There's a lot of this new NBA is new to everybody's ears and learning how people are team building. So I think that's kind of frustrating to some people's,
I want you to put your GM hat on for the Pacers. Based on the salary you got, you got two choices, and these are your only two choices. You re-sign Miles Turner to a, I'm not going to say a cap-friendly, I'll say between a cap-friendly slash player-friendly deal, or you re-sign, re-up Andrew Nembhard. And it's probably going to come to this between these two, how much you give into who, and do you keep both, and can you keep both? Because I don't think you can when it comes up next
year. Between who, Andrew, between who and who?
From Nembhard and Miles Turner. You have enough stock at the guard position. The center is, the cupboard is bare.
Yeah, but you gotta also kind of remember, man, that I think there will be some flexibility in Obi Toppin's contract if that kind of is the case, where we have to try to figure out how can we move a contract, you know what I'm saying, without getting something back. You know what I mean? He's been averaging like $20-something million. Heck, the Pacers just traded the dude making $20 million and Bruce Brown. And it wasn't like, and that's how they got paid to Siakam. So, Brandon's going to be real interesting with Miles Turner. Miles Turner ain't even 30. Like, in his career, he's still under 30. So, like, yeah. What is his number? When you see these big mega contracts, man, you know what I'm saying? Is he a $30 million guy now? Is he going to be a $40 million guy? And if he's off from that $40 million guy, well, that's going to be kind of kooky, man, because they already got another $40 million. Pacers cannot have three $40 million guys. But it's going to be interesting. You're right. Resign Miles Turner. I'm not saying that he is or it, you know, isn't, but he got stats that can say that, hey, this is what y'all paying Page or this. You know, or, you know what I mean? See, I can miss why I should be making this much. So it's going to be
interesting. You're out Page? Man, we're going way back. We're throwing out Page. So
I'm not paying. Sorry. Yeah.
John, you want to – all right, folks. You want to introduce our guest that we've got, John?
No, man. Welcome to the show, man. Purdue alumni, class of 86, and Indiana Hall of Fame inductee 2019. Welcome to the show, Matt Gaddis.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for having me.
Hey, Mac, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. I'm just listening to you guys here. You know, I thought y'all was going to have a Royal Rumble there for a second, you know.
Well, I got John up on the Lakers, man. He just kind of went off on it.
Well, hey, I'm a Lakers fan. I'm a Lakers fan too. I'm a Lakers fan also, so I'm with you.
Well, I'm not a fan. Historically, man, when I used to root for the Lakers, I was usually rooting for the Eastern Conference team, whether it was Detroit or Boston. So
right.
I always used to call myself, before I got this job, and you have to be impartial, I used to call myself Laker hater number one. So, and with that being said, I know how the Lakers should look, because your enemy should know, you know what I'm saying, how you should be defeated. You know what I'm saying?
Right now,
they look like a team mm-hmm. that's lining up to get defeated a lot. You know what I mean? They'll flirt around with, you know, 40-some. You got 80-some games, man. They'll flirt around with a 40 and, you know what I mean, something or whatever, man. But that's not
right.
What was promised, you know what I mean? So
yeah, I agree.
But like, no, man.
I agree.
Yeah, but hey, man, we didn't bring Matt Gaddis on to talk about the Lakers per se. We brought Matt Gaddis on to talk about, you know, how'd you become how'd you become a Hall of Famer, man? So, you know what I'm saying? We're gonna kind of go dust up the old basketball resume, as they say, man.
Oh wow!
So, I kind of just want to start, ask you a question, like, how did you get involved with basketball and in sports in general?
Well, my dad, that was the main thing. I've got a brother 2 years older than me, David, who went on to play at SMU, Southern Methodist University down in Dallas.
Right.
So we both got in basketball at the same time. We started off playing football, and then played football over at Riverside. People will probably remember. And then we played basketball at about, I don't know, probably 9 years old, starting off in Municipal Gardens. You know, Municipal Gardens back in the day was the field house, Grand Park, and all these big mega places they have now. That's where the ball players went to play, was Municipal Gardens.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right. So how does Well, because I know because you played at Pike in high school. How did you end up at Pike? And how'd you end up at Pike? Because, like, man, you know what I'm saying, during that time, the furthest north, I'm trying to think, I'm going to tell you how old I am, I'm 49, going to be 50. So
Uh-oh.
The furthest northwest that I knew of was, like, Washington Township.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And usually there wasn't that many black people, you know what I'm saying, that, even over there. So, like, how?
Right.
You know, and mm-hmm. how was it like growing up in Pike Township and coming through that pipeline?
Well, we originally grew up in Washington Township. That's where we grew up. And as we got to grade school and middle school is when we moved to Pike Township. And I was one of the first classes to go through Guyon Creek Elementary and then Guyon Creek Middle School. If you've heard of both of those over off of Guyon Road, they were brand spanking new back then. So, and it was more, I think, that North Central was getting so big that I think people kind of got lost in the shuffle. And Pike was this kind of up-and-coming suburban neighborhood. And, just some good forethought by my dad, we decided to give Pike a chance. And when I got to – right before I got to high school, I was actually going to go to Cathedral. That was was the plan. Yeah,
really?
I was going to go to Cathedral. And Ken Barlow was going to go, and Ken Barlow did end up going. John Sherman Williams was going to go. Hicks was going to come after that, and it was going to, basically the team was going to be loaded. And that's my father again. I think he thought and said, probably not enough basketballs over there for all you guys. So that's when we just stuck it, we stuck it out at Pike. I mean, looking back, that was the best decision. Had a great coach in Ed Siegel back then. Ed was just a terrific coach, kind of head of the game at that time. And, Pike just became one of those areas where I think you had a lot of people that were moving from inner city to affordable housing, and Pike had just a lot of neighborhoods where people could kind of make that move and maybe not want to live in IPS but live in a suburb, and Pike was that place. To me, Pike is kind of like the way people now are moving to Westfield. Carmel's getting so big, Fisher's getting so big, so what's the next growing area? Let's get Westfield, or people going out to Mount Vernon, places like that. I just think there's always a cycle that of schools that just go through that, and you'll see it again, one day.
Right.
Yep.
Right. So tell me a little bit about, becoming, I don't even know, I couldn't, shame on me, I couldn't tell you who was on the Indiana All-Star team this year, man, but I know back in the 80s and 90s, you could read them off by your fingers and toes, man. So being selected to play on the Indiana All-Star team and playing against
our Mr. Basketball was a guy named Roger Harden from Valparaiso that went to Kentucky. Went to Purdue. Scott Skiles, who went to Michigan State.
Yep.
Sherman Williams, who went to Indiana State. Andre Morgan. Rinaldo Thomas, who ended up going to Houston. You had Stu Robinson, who went to Indiana.
That's
Petty Hibbert. Yeah, I mean, that team, Ken Barlow went to Notre Dame.
Yep.
I'm just trying to think of some other guys, but it was one of the most talented All-Star teams I've seen. I think every single guy on the team averaged right or above 25 points a game.
Wow.
And you got to think back then, that's 25 points a game with no three pointers.
Yep.
Right.
And no shot clock. So how people could score back then. You look back and I look at now, I see a guy who's a five-star who averages 19 points a game, I kind of chuckle that, if they only played when we play,
I see a lot of debate now on the fact that with Indiana playing Kentucky All-Stars, when they play twice down in Kentucky and then they play up here in Indy, that it's just the Kentucky town just isn't what it is. And I've read a couple articles where they want Indiana to move and start playing the Ohio talent more than.
I think the big thing that has happened is it's not that big a deal anymore to make the Indiana All-Star team. Because I feel like high school basketball has now taken kind of a step back when it's compared to AAU traveling AAU teams, and now more kids going to prep school, and now you can, you know, when I played, when you got a scholarship, it was because of your high school basketball season. Now, it's not that major. Now you're seeing guys now, they're getting their scholarship offers from AAU basketball, and that's the direction of it. These schools now can go watch 200 kids play versus coming to a high school game and watching three.
Right.
Yeah.
You know. And
are we in a danger zone?
And they can watch. Excuse me.
Are we in the danger zone where kids may say, "Hey, you got, you know, these guys are making Indiana All-Star. You got Mr. Basketball." And they say, "You know what? I don't want to take a chance doing this All-Star game and possibly getting hurt because I'm possibly could make thousands in college and all this." Are we at that point where we start seeing people sit out?
Oh, absolutely. I think you're going to see that pretty soon, where you're just going to see kids say, "You know what? I'm just going to go ahead and train. I'm going to go down to the university I'm going to. I'm going to go there early, start working with the team, and skip." Now, I think the McDonald's team will always be big. The Jordan Brand game will always be big because those are national televised games. And I think the Indiana-Kentucky game doesn't bring the flavor that it used to, because that was the game that you watched. You didn't watch all these other all-star games. Now the prep school games are on national TV.
Yeah, they are.
It's just things changed where the importance of being on that team, it's just not that important, because that credential isn't as big as a kid if he says that I either made the McDonald's team or anything like that. You know, that game was on TV, the Indiana-Kentucky game. Now everything's on TV. You know, so it's just not a major thing for high school kids growing up to say, "One day I want to be an Indiana All-Star."
Yep.
So Mac, it's known, man. You stayed here in state, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You chose Purdue. Tell us a little bit about your recruitment, what you're willing to share and whatnot, and how important was it for you to stay in state versus going or staying in state and going to Purdue, or going versus going anywhere else?
I think a lot of that, the 80s, 90s, if you see most kids that were all state, first team, their two choices first were Indiana or Purdue. And that's where they went. And I think a lot of that had to do with TV. Now a kid can go to University of Minnesota. They can go out west. And you know what? Their parents can watch that kid play every single game that he plays in college with the way TV is now. When I was in school, that's the only thing that you saw. If you were here in Indiana, you saw IU and Purdue.
Yeah.
Yep. That was it. And for your family to watch you, which was important to you at that time, that was big on your menu. That, you know, you had Bobby Knight at IU, you had Gene Katie at Purdue. So you had legendary coaches. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the rivalry was also extremely large back in those times, where it was paramount, and you had people that were making choices. Where are you going, IU or Purdue? So a lot of it for me was, first of all, going someplace I could play, staying close to home where our family could see me, getting a good education. Right. And those three things, because you really wasn't thinking about NBA like most kids, I think, think about it now. You know, and maybe they probably think about it too much, rather than thinking about, I need to go someplace where I can play. And I think that's why you see all the transferring. I think that's why you see all the transferring now, because kids are choosing teams for the wrong reason. And they get recruited, and then when they get there, somebody lied to them. You know, I always used to say when you're recruited, it's like a honeymoon. When you get there, marriage starts. And the story that, you know, the story that they told you, they told every other kid. You're going to play. Yeah. You're going to get this. You're going to get that. You know, and you didn't have NIL, so you didn't have to worry about that piece of it. You didn't transfer back in my time. When you chose something, that's what you chose and stuck with, and you worked it out. You worked it out. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and it's crazy now because you might have a plan where, hey, you're going to get recruited here to go play at Purdue, or we'll say Purdue, and this is the four-year plan that we got for you, and this, you know, you're going to work your way through. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, one dude transfers out and says, you know what, I'm going to go to Purdue, and it might be your position, and that might just wreck the entire plan that you had, you know, and it's so volatile.
It is. Well, and also you got to think, back in that day, when you transferred, you had to sit out.
Yeah.
Now, you transfer, you play right away. And I think that that's also a major part of why it's attractive for a kid to leave. It's like leaving a job. I leave a job, I don't have to sit out work for a year. I just go to work right away. You know, so now they made it so easy to be able to do it. When you had to sit out that year, it kind of stayed in your head. I've never had to sit out a year of playing this sport. So now if I transfer, I sit out a year, they end up recruiting kids in, I can get farther down on the depth chart. You know. So now it's really, I think now, and that's why I go back to say that I think that a lot of the choices that are being made are not for particularly the right reason at the time. There's some motives and there's some things that stand out that look shiny and new that really, you really need to look into it more. Can I play? Am I going to play? First of all. You know, am I going to get good education? Am I going to like where I'm at and the guys around me? If those things work out, you're probably going to stick it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mac, I got to ask you, man. So playing on that Big Ten stage, and we're going to ask you about, you know, saying how many times, you know, saying and what was the results and all that playing versus IU. But like, tell me about a moment where you did, you know, maybe the competition kind of surprised you. It was on the road or something like that. And, you know, saying maybe the competition, you know, saying, because I think a lot of people, when they even participants like ourselves, man, they were saying when you start filling out your who Purdue or who IU gonna lose or win, they automatically kind of like overlook, quote unquote, the lesser team, and then they'd be forgetting, oh man, sometimes, you know what, you know what I'm saying, this Northwestern over here, sometimes they really, you know what I'm saying, win a game here and there, man. You know, so like, tell me about the time, you know what I'm saying, where you played, you know, drew against an opponent, and maybe they kind of surprised you a little bit.
Probably more, probably Illinois. What you saw with Illinois back in the 80s was always a very athletic team, high flying, not strong, fundamentally sound. So when you watched them play and you scouted them, you looked at them, and it just didn't look the same way until you got on the court with them. Like, I had to play against Derek Harper, Bruce Douglas, those guys. They were at Illinois at the time. Guys that were tall, long, you know, talked a lot of crap. You know, from the mean streets of Chicago. I mean, these, you know, and that's what you can't see. And I think when people watch games on TV, it's totally different out on the court. There's trash talking, there's bumping, there's talking about your mom and daddy, your girlfriend, whoever. And it's ruthless, you know, and playing at Indiana, I was in the game when Knight threw the chair. That was something I always remember, you know, playing in front of crowds. And really when you're playing, you kind of block out the crowd a lot, just from a mental standpoint. It just really doesn't affect you as much as people think it does until it gets to a point where a team's making a run on you or you're at the free throw line by yourself or things are just not going your way or you're making a run and you can hold a crowd off. But, you know, those kind of things. But really, probably for me, playing against a guy like Kenny Smith, you know, we played against North Carolina and we played in the Great Alaskan Shootout. That was a challenge to see a guy with that kind of speed Played against Rod Strickland.
Yep.
When you know with Rod Strickland when he was at DePaul, Mark Aguirre was playing, Dallas Comegys, Terry Cummings. I mean these type of guys. I just think that the game has changed in a way that I think that guys may be more talented now, but I don't think they approach the game with the same with the same passion. Because for a lot of guys, you know.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you, but like I don't just because of the hand checking, I can't get over it. I can't say they want me like you know these youngsters I talk to, man. I sound like somebody's uncle now. These youngsters I talk to, man, they want to say that the like on a pro, look on a pro level, they say like Craig Elo couldn't play dead. You know, say in a zombie movie, I'm like, man, you know, today they talking about today. I'm like, I don't know, man. You know what I'm saying? But he hung in. So what you mean he couldn't hang? I get it because he's not a high flyer or whatever. But you go back and look at the tape, there was a lot of hand checking, you know what I'm saying? It's a little different. Now we're covering space, and I kind of don't like
I think, Jonathan, that when you look and you say that, could Tim Duncan play in today's game? Okay. I would say yes.
Were they letting him bang? Because he likes to bang. He bangs one time, two times. You know what I'm saying? But like they don't really like they don't even like guys to bang no more.
Right. No, but I think what the biggest thing is that guys would train differently for the skill that they need. It's you can't really take a guy and say you can't really say that Tim Duncan would have the same game that he would now. He would play differently. He would train would grow up learning to shoot a 3-pointer. Okay. We didn't
more consistently,
you know a guy that played in the '80s. He went Shaq, not saying that Shaq couldn't have been a shooter, but who's saying that he wouldn't have changed his game to become that kind of force? Okay? He didn't have to. So when people say a guy couldn't play now, I think they're just taking his game that they see, impose it in on the game now, and say, no, you can't do that. I don't think that that's easy enough to do because you would do things differently when you're coming up through basketball that you see how the game is, that you got to be a 3-and-D guy. You got to be a stretch four. So when you train and you worked out, you would become that type of player.
Right.
So it's, you know, I think that's a part of the game that's changed. I think that you might see more athletes now, but you also see more guys with less fundamentals. Okay. You can carry the basketball when you cross somebody over.
Oh, my
you can
goodness.
Travel. You can, I mean, there's all kinds of things that just go on that's really against the fundamentals of basketball completely.
Yeah. The carrying is kind of outrageous, man. That's why I said hoop junkies, man. Because I know pre-screening Brandon, I knew he's a hoop junkie, man, for real, for real. He's kind of holds back a little bit. But, like, to see somebody call out the carrying, they play, man, they do play. Like, Kyrie Irving gets to carry the ball. So Allen Iverson, he was on a podcast saying he said I was allowed to carry the ball. He said I was allowed to do it right now. He said I probably averaged 37 points a game.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Right. The step back move. That's a travel.
James Harden.
It's a travel. You can now create space without
it ain't
taking
just James Harden. Steph Curry does it too now. No. He does the step back too.
I see Halliburton do it. I see Halliburton come to a
and
take a step, and he has left his guy completely without taking a dribble. so it's almost like now I can pick up my dribble and still get away from my man. Back in the day, you created space by creating space off the bounce.
Mac, they call it a gather step.
they can call it whatever they want. I call it travel.
I was ear hustling around some basketball trainers. This is when I had Lifetime Fitness. I had it, but I was paying for it. You know what I'm saying, consistently, right? And you know the trainers come in there with their kids or whatever. You know what I'm saying, with the athletes or whatever, right? And they tell them real stuff, shooting through drills. Not that's what he said, man. He said, you have a gather step. I about passed that. I'm just in there shooting. I never played. I play intramurals, you know what I'm saying, whatever. But then he said, a gather step?
Right.
And he said, "Oh, you moved over." I said, "No, man, that's like you can't change a pivot and you can't have a gather step." I couldn't understand it, but that's how it's officiated now.
The Euro step came in. I mean that created a whole new move for guys where now I look at it now that it is hard to guard a guy if he's allowed to do a lot of this and you can't hand check him, you can't bump him. I don't really know how you can guard some of these guys because now a player can actually make contact offensively, but you can't be aggressive back on the defensive side against him. I was watching Luka play. Luka bumps you, he gets you off, you come back to him, and you bump him, it's a foul. But he created the contact.
Right.
I don't know how you guard somebody.
In a perfect world, I get it. I don't want nobody, Kurt Rambis and Kevin McHale. I don't. Nobody wants that. That was a car crash. Even back then, people was like, man, that was a car crash. Right. Like, we can never have that again, But people want some type of better, like Gary Payton's defense, He just led you. Not necessarily Dennis Rodman and the Detroit Pistons defense. I get that part because –
Right.
That's ugly. That's ugly viewership for them too. But like, these 145 point game. I wake up sometimes, man. NBA. I know we didn't start the whole conversation now. I wake up sometimes and I look at these scores. That's like 145 to 133.
Right.
What in the world? Right. Nobody played defense and everybody shot free throws.
No.
But
the NBA wanted. The NBA wanted scoring, and that's what they got.
Well, they reap the benefits of gambling, of legalized gambling.
Right.
You feel about that. But, yeah, that's how people parlay. People, if you didn't, shame on, I said it before the playoffs started. I didn't want to feel like prophetic or nothing. I said, Josh Hart, I looked up his stats, man. He was a walking rebound machine. Everybody, even Brandon Reed here, who's a degenerate gambler, he'll admit it to you. said it. He said, man, you better put money on Josh Hart getting over five. And if you didn't put money on Josh Hart getting over five, man, that was the biggest, Now, it wasn't going to pay you back, $1,000, but, like, you could have made $50 because he went crazy.
Right.
But that's what drives, statistics drive, there was statistics anyway drive, I don't know why, I get it, baseball isn't a problem, they damn self, because the players are still betting.
Right.
They don't care.
Absolutely.
Statistics drive gambling, and fandom is driven by statistics because that's what they go about. Oh, man, I'll bet on whoever getting a triple today. I'll bet on whoever getting LeBron's playing who tonight? They're playing Cleveland. Oh, you're going to get 30 tonight. That's easy.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't you put $5 on that? Whatever. But now the NBA that made it so juiced up that, the statistics, of course they're going to get 100 points. Right? So you feel like everybody's a winner.
that's what they want. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yep. But no, man. Guerrero's back in. I want to ask you about playing. Like I said, playing in West Lafayette. What would you consider like your best game, and what year was it?
85 against Kentucky. I think I had 17. But that was. I was more, when you look back, point guard back in 80s and 90s were quarterbacks. They controlled the pace of the game. They were the quarterback. They were not huge scorers. If you look at point guards in college basketball, rarely saw a point guard average over 20 points. That's just not that really wasn't his job because everything was played through a center. And we always had good centers. We had Russell Cross. We had Jim Rowinski. So we had guys, and Katie was a believer in taking the ball down inside and then work it out. Rather now, it's just the opposite. It's outside to in. Okay? You know what I'm saying? You follow me there? That was a big game for me just from the standpoint also. It was Kentucky. They were a rivalry of us. And also I was playing against Roger Harden, who was Mr. Basketball my year. at the time. James Blackman was on that team. I don't know if you remember James or not. He was on that team as well. And they had wore us out my sophomore year when they had they beat us by almost 30 when they had Kenny Walker, Melvin Turpin, Sam Bowie. They had those guys. Oh, and they beat us, and they beat the crap out of us down at Freedom Hall. So there was some payback there. But, you know, just a fun experience. West Lafayette was great. Basketball crazies. You know, I just couldn't ask for a better atmosphere, you know, when it came to playing basketball, and I don't regret it one bit, you know. And they brought back that Painter and his crew have suddenly brought that back to West Lafayette.
Absolutely. Brent?
Yeah, I'd be remiss if I don't take a question from our viewers, especially our sponsor, Scott K. Nichols, if I don't ask a question that he's asking, then I got to keep the sponsors happy. So, Mac, the question I got from Scott, and I'm curious too, who are your top five Purdue basketball players?
Top five?
Oh, top five.
In no particular order or in order? I guess
up to you. We'll leave it to you.
Okay. I'm going to say number one to me is Glenn Robinson. Okay. No matter what people say, I've seen that guy do things when he played against the Fab Five that those guys are probably still having nightmares over. I would say Edie would be second, and I would say probably Joe Barry Carroll.
Right.
You would throw Rick Mount there somewhere. Not someone of more present is probably, I would probably throw my boy I played with, probably Russell Cross, you know. Oh. So all fantastic scorers. But as you can see, the only guard really on that list was Rick Mount.
Yep.
And that's, you know, that was just the times, you know. But, I mean, Glenn Robinson was just, he was just special. I saw him up close, and he's the best mid-range dude I've ever seen play basketball in college. I mean, his mid-range game was phenomenal. You know, he could get to a spot, and it was over. It was lights out.
What was your
great question?
What was your favorite arena to play in besides Mackey? You can't use Mackey. What was your favorite one to play in?
Probably Iowa. It was brand new back during that time. Brand new, state of the art. And they had a coach, Dr. Tom Davis was there for a little bit.
Yeah.
Then I'm missing the guy's name who coached after him, but they had some fantastic team. But that place was brand new, and I remember the locker room, the visitors' locker room. It was pink. they had cologne in there for you, mouthwash, deodorant. Had posters hanging up of girls in bikinis, so made you feel very comfortable and just very relaxed. It was just you're playing in Iowa. There's nothing else going on. So,
you know,
when you're playing places like that, that is their professional basketball team. You know, that's it, you know, and that's the way the Big Ten back then, another tough place was Ohio State. You know, they played in a field house type place, and Minnesota in the barn was the same way, you know, so it was just, and Iowa stood out because it was brand new. Most of everybody else in the Big Ten had older, dated arenas, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's see. I'm trying to think of another one I got here written down. So, obviously, when you went to Purdue playing for legendary coach Gene Cady, kind of talk about Coach Cady and just kind of his lasting impact on you for your not only for the rest of your career, but also kind of as you an adult and kind of go through life, passing it on to your kids and such.
Mm-hmm. Well, Katie's one of them no nonsense coaches. That was the 80s. Guys were they were just real. It was almost like a military style of the way they approached coaching. It was basically my way or the highway kind of thing. And being in high school, my high school coach was kind of that same way. My dad was the same way. So it really wasn't a shock to me, you know, that when I went to Purdue, I was going to have to play for a dude that was very disciplined oriented, expect you to be on time, expect you to be responsible. And I think those are the things that carry over, that he takes you from a boy to a man, you know, so to speak. But right. One thing Katie was is that he was always fair, okay? So, and what I mean by that is that if you were better than somebody, you played in front of them. You know, there was no real favoritism that was shown. And that's the part that garners respect, you know. So, and I think that a lot of those lessons that you're in college that you learn, you may not be thinking that you're learning them for the future, but then when you look back 30 years later, you go, that's where a lot of this started, you know. So, you know, I can remember times when we played Illinois, got blown out. Took the bus back from Champaign, got back about 12:30, close to 1, you know, bus stops at the arena. We're all tired getting off, and he stands up and, all right, go put your stuff on, guys. We're going to have practice. You know, you do that now, you'd have a mutiny on your hand. You know, a college coach couldn't do it. The administration wouldn't let him. He would be called out on every local TV station and national TV, that you got these kids out there practicing at 1 o'clock and all these things. But back then, you didn't think anything of it. You just, oh, darn it. Oh, man, this is going to be hell. Because you know it's not going to be a good session. I mean, it's going to be punishment is what it's going to be. You know, so, you know, but that's the kind of guy he was. And really, you the next time you played with the back of your head going, I'm going to do some things just because, you know what, I don't feel like practicing at 1 o'clock. So, you know, that's going to be a lot of it is that it's the reinforcement part is going to stick with you, you know. So, he's just one of those legendary coaches where guys just can't coach the same way those guys did back then, you know. And, you know, just you appreciate guys like that because they made you grow up at a young age when maybe you weren't ready to even grow up, but you had to.
Yep. Okay.
Perfect. Well, Mac, I just got two more questions, man. You have been gracious with your time, man, and your openness, man,
no problem.
About playing at Purdue and whatnot, man. I got to ask you about being inducted to the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame in 2019, man. Is it like a specific call? Or is there like a process that, you know what I'm saying, kind of that you have to go through before, you know what I'm saying, you get that official, you know what I'm saying, title?
There's a process because someone has to put you in front of the board and there has to be a vote, there has to be an application. So the board has to basically unanimously vote you into the hall. So when you get that call, basically, that for me, it came from Ed Siegel, that my high school coach, that called me and told me that I was going to be going in the 2019 class, and which was great because my brother had also went in. And if you look back through the annuals, there's not too many brother combinations that are in the Hall of Fame. You know, you have Shepherds, you have people like that, Van Arsdales, but the numbers are not. You know, if you could find 10, you're probably lucky, you know. So that's, to me, that, you know, and it's also a congratulatory thing for the people who raise you because those are the people who sacrificed. They got off work. They used their weekends. They used their hard-earned money, and they put forth the effort to get you where you are at that point. All you had to do was play basketball. So, to me, if I felt it was more for those people than it was even for me.
Okay. And I got one more last one, man. Before we get off this line, man. What is still the greatest college basketball rivalry? And what was historically your part that you played in it?
The greatest basketball rivalry to this day?
Uh-huh. I'm going to let you be biased. I'm trying to lead you down that road. Absolutely.
There's no doubt about it. I think in the 80s it was IU-Purdue, okay? I think in the 90s it was North Carolina-Duke, okay? I think that's – Yeah, I mean, you know, those schools were extremely close, and they were always competitive. Right now, IU-Purdue is not a rivalry because we kick the hell out of IU all the time.
Woo!
You got to beat me to make it a rivalry. Okay?
Love it.
You got to win a game to make it a rivalry.
Coach Bradley comes on, and we can't really ask him that because he's on the job. You still connect because Hall of Famer Matt Gaddis is still connected to the Boilermakers, so I can give him a read in between the lines kind of question, and he's going to answer appropriately, man. Thank you for the answer for the faithful.
I mean, think about it. Would you guys disagree? Don't you have to win a few times if it's a rivalry?
You got to try hard.
You know, John, it wasn't a coincidence. He said, you know, when he kept talking about when he chose Purdue, because he kept saying education, we know damn well they don't have that down there in Bloomington. So.
Oh, man. Don't be running that.
You're right about that, Brandon.
Don't get us in trouble.
I've already got the haters on me down there in Bloomington. I'm ready for them.
Double D lovers. You already know that. That's another conversation for another time.
Hey, he can, and he says things just to piss people off sometimes, so. I'll say it just pissed people off too, but he was part of those teams that I played against also, because we had one guy from Gary Andrean, Jim Bullock, and Dan Dockers from Gary Andrean. So, you know, we had some battles. You know, and I guess that's the other thing I'll also say is that back in that time, the players that you played against at IU, you played against in the summer. They were Indiana kids. So
right.
It became a pride match, because if I beat you, I'm going to talk to you all summer, I don't think you have that as much now. I don't know if people really understand that go to IU Purdue, understand the history as much. I think Painter does a great job of keeping in-state kids. And I think Woodson is going to try to get back to that. They got away from that, I think that hurt. I think that hurt their program.
Right.
Yep.
Trying to be a national program instead of we try to win program. That's how I look at Purdue. I get the world is changing. I get it. I get y'all say the grass is not green no more, but we trying to win it.
Right.
And you still will find kids, athletes, that don't want to do that. Okay. They didn't recruit me over at Duke, where Virginia, where who at UNC. They didn't recruit me at Arizona. Purdue did. They're going to give me a chance. Go for it. So, I know everybody, that now you open a can of worms. Why that kid just transferred to BYU? I don't know what they got going on at BYU. I'm not going to run down nobody's, anything else. Who knows, right? But, Purdue, I do know this. Purdue is trying to win games. And get to Final Fours and navigate through all that, man. And if you are an athlete that plays basketball and the big boys is ignoring you, or even the big boys yell up in your ear, I think you still should always listen to them and see what they're saying, man. Because the best teams, I ain't telling you nothing you don't know. The best teams win, and I don't know. Shame on me, selfishly from a fan standpoint. I wanted Jaden Ivey, right? I know zeros didn't match up. Think about who he came back with, like, one more year. What would that have been like? Another Final Four. Because, like, guard play, that's what you need.
Easily.
You need mature guard play. And he would have been one more year into the program, trying to at least calm down, because he turned over heavy now. He got another coach,
Ivy fits that style that UConn was playing. You know, Purdue had had a hard time with length with that team, and they had four NBA guys probably. I mean, that team was as strong as, you know, as any team I've seen. I mean, like I would ask you guys, who's the top three college basketball teams that you've seen? I know mine, but I, you know, yeah, yeah.
Like recently, so like that UConn team that Purdue got beat, they pretty good. The coach talking about they the greatest team in the last 30 years. I'm not going. I don't know, little brother. You know what I'm saying? I would say Florida when they had Joakim Noah and Horford.
Mm-hmm.
They were pretty impressive. I don't want to say that. If we go back to like the mid and early 90s, man, and you got Christian Leitner and Hurley's brother,
right,
and Grant Hill,
right,
those teams mm-hmm. were mature. Like if those teams play now, everybody leaving after year one. You know
right.
what I mean? That's what
right.
that's kind of what
mm-hmm.
would happen. So they kind of all just mm-hmm. stuck together. I know, shame on me, we can go look at the tape, but like what I saw versus what the tape. So I know, you know what I'm saying, they got some undefeated teams in Bob Knight,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
prime era.
Right.
All
yeah.
that.
I'd probably throw 96 Kentucky, I think, in there.
The 96 Kentucky team?
Yeah. I think the 90. Is it 96?
Is that with Derek Anderson? Is that with Derek Anderson
yeah.
and Ron Mercer?
Yeah.
Yeah, ain't too many people.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think too many pro teams is gonna beat them.
Mm-hmm.
I thought
No.
The best team
that I've seen was that UNLV team with Larry Johnson, Augman Hunt.
That's 89, right?
Team. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
No,
that's 89
or
91.
I'm in 91.
Oh, 91.
That's
it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Hunt, Anthony.
They was blowing teams
Augman.
Out. They went to the tournament and blew teams out. They was blowing teams out.
Yeah. Yeah, Stacey Augman,
because
Larry Johnson.
Augman and Larry Johnson were pros. They were pros.
Yes. Yeah, they were grown.
No,
they were grown men.
Lil Anthony. Because, you know what
right.
I'm saying, Greg Anthony,
right.
he ain't little. He's,
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they
that
had all pros.
Was, yeah.
I saw
right.
a tweet that came out.
Hold on,
Don.
Matt, I know you got Big Ten, you know what I'm saying, love, but, like, hey, man, pretty darn good. The Fab Five, they, like, I don't like to give them no type of, like, I really don't, man. I don't like to give them no type of credit. But they didn't win the championship. They
right.
went to the championship twice.
Right.
They should have
right.
won it. I
right.
can't give
yeah.
them this, but they were pretty darn good. You have to mention them,
right.
I guess, man. But, like,
did that
they,
team,
like,
did that team even win, did they win a Big Ten title?
I thought they were Big Ten. Don't give me the line.
I'm looking it up right now.
I just go by half with Calvin Chaney. You know what I'm saying? That's the other homie, right? Like they were Big Ten co-champs. I thought with Ohio State 1 year,
okay.
and I thought they Big Ten co-champs with Michigan the next
nice.
year.
Okay.
Junior senior year.
IU was 92-93, and then obviously 93-94 was Purdue. Purdue beat Michigan by one game. They were 14-4, and Michigan was 13-5. So no,
they never was Big Ten champs. So
I didn't
it's
think
not
so.
To rain on their parade. It's really
no,
not.
No,
I'm not.
But
away,
I
don't take away from Chris Webber. I don't take away from any of the individuals' statistics and what they did.
Right.
Look, the dude, they were freshmen, and then he was a
right.
they were sophomore, and then they took like it was they took it to the NBA. This is where we at right now. This is the Fast
yeah.
Five started. What all these kids do right now?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Use the brand
right.
to bigger up
yes.
yourself. Now, we can't
yes.
– I mean, I saw Jalen Rose was done with TV. He's still back on my Twitter.
Right.
you
I got you. I got you.
But,
yeah. Yeah.
But I would say them, man, they was pretty good. And you know what? I didn't like their style of play, but that Arkansas team was pretty good, too.
Yeah.
The Nolan Ryan's Arkansas team, I didn't
yes.
like
that.
They was
yes.
close, but
yes.
they were pretty good.
Yes. Yes.
I saw a tweet came out yesterday, the best college basketball programs over the last 10 years based on average for your KenPom finishes. Boilermakers, fourth overall,
really?
Best program the last 10 seasons. First was Gonzaga, then Kansas, Duke, and then Purdue.
Oh,
you want to
wow.
get a guess where those Hoosiers were at, John?
Don't be trying to rag me. Don't do that.
I'm not.
Don't be showing out for the company now, man.
I'm going to say something. I'm going to say 30th.
Boy, if there was a getting any close, you were hot. It was 31st.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Once again, it's not a rivalry.
Oh, man.
Hey, okay, clip that, John. Man. Clip that and keep it. We're going to put it in the show anytime they play each other, always.
We'll never
a rivalry.
We in the same boat as Tom Crean.
I say bring Archie Miller back, and we'll have a much better, you know. Okay, yeah, I love
that. Hey, IU, it's all about right now. They're kicking out the podcasters and all that stuff. We're not having the alumni golf outing anymore. We're getting serious down there.
Wow. Okay, let's take all that back. Let's not. Yeah, some people are petty, so yeah.
Get
we
the cigars
yeah, I take
fired
it back.
Up.
You're right.
Oh man, we're gonna have Mac on again when the week of Purdue and IU. I feel like we got to.
Please. Oh, okay. I enjoyed every minute of it, guys.
Perfect, Mac. Well, thank you again for joining us. Thanks for taking your time. I know we had you a little long tonight, but a lot of great insight.
No problem.
We've got a lot of viewers on the Facebook and on the YouTube watching. So you are a big hit tonight with us, sir.
All right. I appreciate it, fellas. Have a good
Thanks,
one.
Thanks,
Mac. Okay.
All right. That's Mac Gaddis, Purdue basketball standout and Indiana basketball Hall of Famer. Yeah, John, we got to get him on for IU Purdue week. It's a must.
Yeah, because it's
not a rivalry.
It's
right.
It's trash talk, but I don't feel any IU fans should feel slighted. Like he's telling you the truth, man. You know, I'm ambivalent. I'm in the middle of this. I like to see IU win. I like to see Purdue win. I like to see IU and Purdue in the Final Four or the final game. Then it'll be back to a rivalry. You know what I'm saying? Like how it used to be with Bob Knight. I thought he was going to choke Gene Katy and vice
yeah.
versa.
I saw
that guy, he was there with the chair. I couldn't. I was like, man, what you think about that with the chair?
Yeah.
I would have got up and like, man, I got to go. Cause
I saw
this is wild. Yeah, I don't know. I had to go. But I know. Go ahead, Brandon.
I saw an interesting stat. Most revenue generated from men's basketball in 2023. I want you to tell me if you can name the top three programs. Most revenue generated in basketball in 2023. I don't think you'll get number one. I really don't.
You don't think it ain't Arizona?
Nope. They were six.
Gonzaga.
Gonzaga is not in the top 50.
Damn. UConn and Kentucky are got to be in the top two or three.
Kentucky is number two. UConn, 45.
And ain't nobody – wait a minute. Where's the homies? Where's Duke at? Because, you know, that's just a brand bigger than almost, you know, Spike Breeze.
Not in the top 100.
No way. So the number one who is who? Clemson?
Nope. The team that was number one – had the worst two seasons in program history the last 2 years. And they generated $38 million in revenue from men's basketball.
You wiping your feet on Michigan? Is that what you're doing? Who are you wiping your feet on, Brandon? Who are you trying to call out?
Louisville. $38 million.
You've been a little bit before. They're basketball crazy down there, man. They just ain't got nobody down there that knows how to build a team anymore.
Yeah, Louisville number one at $38 million. Kentucky number two at $32 million. So the state of Kentucky's got the number one and number two most revenue generated.
Yeah, because they ain't got no pro team. They ain't got no pro basketball.
Interesting. Fifth was the Indiana Hoosiers at $26 million. Purdue 22nd at $16 million.
Man, so. You know. Purdue get back to the Final Four. I know, man. I know we really didn't talk about it. The captains, dude. I guess a coach that went out there from he's familiar with from an AAU standpoint. He's the head coach now, man. But like, you want to get to the NBA to go to BYU?
John,
it didn't even work for Denver. For that.
I'm over that. I'll tell you this, it's crazy. I was on the ESPN app, and I went to the college football section, and I clicked on the Big Ten today, and it's official that they've moved everything over. You can barely fit a screenshot of the Big Ten conference standings.
Brandon, I know last year I wasn't all for it. Since last year, We had an eclipse. I looked it in the eye. You know what I'm saying? I know you weren't supposed to do that. So, like, man, I know Oregon is over here now. I know who else is Washington. Are they here now? No, they stay
Washington,
over there.
USC, and UCLA.
Man, listen, man. I text you today. I would better try to win the Big Ten to this year, because after this year, the Big Ten guys didn't do them no favors. The best they can do maybe is 10-2. They don't have to play Michigan this year, I don't believe. And they got to play Ohio State in Ohio State. It is what it is. You know, Big Ten's gonna serve up. They got to protect those brands. So I wish it go no worse than 10-2, Brad. Otherwise, this dude's gonna get fired. He had to fire his son already. You know, son-in-law, whatever.
They got 4 points.
Nepotism.
He'll be fired. Hey, I just got sent a tweet, and
whatever his name is.
I need to defend my guy who I like, and you're not even giving him a shot in a Pacer uniform. James Wiseman. Here's your stat, John. James Wiseman, when playing at least 20 minutes a game last season, which was 18 of them, in 18 games of playing at least 20 minutes, James Wiseman averaged 13 points a game, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, shot 64% from the field, 76% from the free throw line. He just needs minutes, dude. He just needs minutes. He can pass the stats.
What do we have Jarris Walker for?
He's not the same position. Not the same position.
Hey, man, at some point, they trying to play smart. Oh, hold on, man. I'm about to go crazy, man. Not necessarily crazy on you, Brandon, but, like, look at what the Knicks are talking about. They about to roll out there. Four little guards and Julius Randle. They playing small. Everybody's playing small. Because that's what the copycat league is. Because kind of that's what Boston does. But they boss you. Boston does better.
Jarris Walker will not find a spot on this roster because we have basically been. Jarris Walker and Ben Mather are basically the same person. Sorry, size wise they are.
It better not be because of James Wiseman. He's a 6'10". He's got to be a big that plays a little bit stretch of a role, man.
He's playing well. Get the minutes. So I mean,
all that project y'all made Stewart. All that was about Stewart.
Well, he played when Stewart was either suspended or in foul trouble. I just think I'd give him a shot, man. You're quick to pull the trigger on some of these guys that come in and not give them the respect and let them get a chance.
Give him a shot, Foot Locker. He can go grab me some shoes.
Stop it. Who was it last year who was on your shit list with the Pacers? There was somebody. I'm sorry. 2 years ago, it was Tyrese Halliburton was on your shit list. Didn't understand why he was getting sent here.
He's a whiner.
Wasn't going to cut it.
You want me to back away from it? Is he a whiner? He's a whiner.
Hey, man, what do you think of Tyrese and Jalen Brunson on SmackDown?
Man, stop it. This ain't no Dennis Rodman, Karl Malone. They better stop this, man. I've already seen this. Just stop it. I thought it was comical. It was to me.
I just sent you the tweet,
they
by the way.
No,
got sent to me. Top of the 4 years, $60 million. Jalen Smith opted out, 5-year player option, then signed with the Bulls. I'm totally fine with that, 100%.
Good for him.
DeJounte Murray traded to the Pelicans for Larry Nance and 2 first-round picks. So you got Zion and DeJounte Murray down there, maybe Ingram if he stays.
Man, sound like they still ain't going to win a whole bunch. They'd be all right, Brandon, but that's not appealing, compelling enough of a combo.
Get it? Compelling? Compelling.
But they had to do something though. So Atlanta just moved. Like they didn't get enough back for what they lost to Jonathan for. They lost. How many draft picks did they send the Spurs? The Spurs then kind of already rolled into somebody else, man. So it is what it is, man. But
the Warriors, Spurs, Ryan, Lauri Markkanen.
Dude, what is he doing? Danny Ainge he's silly, dude. What? There's nothing. Well, I get it though. In this draft, there was nothing to quantify the trading of Lauri Markkanen. You see what I'm saying? Right. There's nobody. There's no way. He's just standing pat, but he's wasting Lauri Markkanen's time.
You got Russell Westbrook's got to get traded, right? I know you picked up his $4 million option.
It's got to be traded. And it's annoying. Then why did you opt in, dude? I don't know what's wrong with it. Is she on drugs? I can say this on the can I say this on the Crossroads?
Yeah, go ahead. Say it.
No, I'm saying, is he on drugs? Is he on drugs?
Why? Why you say that?
It goes back like a daggone to every, like hour by hour. Russell Westbrook is not going to opt in with the Clippers. He said, fuck them. Or whatever. You know what I'm saying? That's how he is.
That's what you sent me. And then next thing I know, look, he's opted in.
And then the next day he opts in, man. Is he either on drugs, the spectrum, or he needs a little assistance? Because his night and day self, you know what I'm saying, flipping around, like he might have a multiple personality, man. I don't know, man. I'm kind of joking, man. But like, no, for real, man. He flipped back and forth, but now he wants to you opted in to be traded.
Yeah.
Now you just gave people your destiny papers, man. They don't make no sense, man. Good luck.
After they got rid of Klay Thompson, they went out and signed Kyle Anderson. They're trying to look at Lauri Markkanen, as well as in the last 15 minutes, Steve Kerr's rounded out his coaching. He's hired Terry Stotts as his lead assistant coach. And Jerry Stackhouse as an assistant out there in Golden State.
What? The Vanderbilt flameout? Damn, Jerry. Got people looking out for him, man. But
can I get you something you're going to lose your mind on?
Come on, man. Line it up.
Latest report is the Wizards' price for Kyle Kuzma is 2 first-round picks if they want to trade. 2 first-round picks for Kuzma.
Nah. I mean... So you mean to tell me he's like the Siakam of this year? In order to get, why would I want that fool ass? He's a fool ass, man. Nobody can clean that up. You can't clean that up. Gunner, you want to talk about Gunner? Bad shot taker, bad shot not going to take? Nah, man. Who would want that?
Hey, man, a lot of Pacer fans are huge. Right now, I've seen Twitter a buzz. I've seen nothing but great things about James Wiseman on Twitter from Pacer fans. Come on, man. Give him a shot.
They're Twitter bots. Got to be.
No, that ain't they real
man,
people.
Even the great Dan, me and Dan Dawkins take the light. Man, he said the exact same thing. He said, why are we investing our time in Wiseman? Stop it, man. You brought it back up. I didn't want to bring it back up.
I'm going to keep bringing it up. The Warriors were also, as was reported, the Warriors were unwilling to trade Jonathan Kuminga for Paul George. The Warriors offered multiple combinations of expiring contracts, young players, and unprotected 2027 first-round pick for Paul George. The Clippers countered by asking for prized youngster Jonathan Kuminga. The Warriors resisted because Kuminga is so important to their own future, sources said, but also because they worried George wouldn't be as interested in joining them if they gave up too much to get him.
Man, it's annoying. They should have... I mean, and then when they do this, like, so this is where this is where Golden State becomes the bad guy because they were flirting with, even though you have these breakup problems with your girlfriend, like I put it in those terms with Klay Thompson, right? You have breakup problems, but you don't really want to break up. You're just going to start flirting with Paul George? Like, Paul George ain't never, I mean, you know, to y'all, he's not, that shouldn't be sexy at any point, man. Like, this is be injecting, and you already know this is a 2-year plan with Paul George, man. But, like, you wasting, if you trying to do that, nobody's tearing their team up. I said nobody's tearing their team up for DeMar DeRozan. Ain't nobody tearing their team up for Paul George.
Does Steph finish his career in Golden State, do you think?
Yeah. And some, Brandon, you know what? You talk about a reunion tour. There'll probably be some type of reunion tour once the salary cap goes back up. I can see Klay Thompson going back out there in the next 3 years.
I think Draymond's gone before long.
Yeah, I can see him getting pissy with Luka Doncic after year one. Tell Mark Cuban, get me back at the Golden State.
Oh,
Draymond,
no way. Not in year one.
Kuminga. Like, what did they trade? They held on to Kuminga for what? He didn't get along with the general manager or the coach. Remember what Steve Kerr was like?
Yeah.
I don't know. Kuminga was talking about, I don't know if I can play for, I don't think he can play. I don't know if he wants to play for me. Man, stop it, man, with Jonathan Kuminga. Jonathan Kuminga wants to be a me type of basketball player. And on with the Golden State Warriors right now, with Steph Curry still being the legend that he is, and with Draymond Green being the bully that he is, you can't just be a me back. We ain't got time for that, man. We still trying to figure out how they can get back into the conversation of not getting bounced out and being a one-and-done team. You know what I'm saying? So they're riding Kuminga. That was the plan. But, like, Kuminga is thinking, like, how can I get on the cover of the slam? How can, you know what I'm saying? He's thinking about missed opportunities because that's what it is for him. So, like, either his agent needs to get him out of Dodge, but Golden State holds those keys, meaning, like, they're not going to – something like they – I get it. You weren't going to trade Kuminga for Paul George just because of the difference.
Hold
but
on.
I would hold on to Kuminga forever. Don't hold on to Kuminga forever.
Did you see this has to be real. Did you see the statement, the Golden State Warriors statement on Draymond Green?
No, I wouldn't say.
This can't be real. It can't be. NBA Central, who is pretty accurate with a lot of their postings, and I'm seeing this can't be. Why a statement? I don't. Okay, it can't be real. Never mind. It was a weird statement that was released just a little bit ago. I was like, it can't be real. But what was I gonna say? We get our guy out here. So we got the circus. The circus is calling in. Before we get to Cot, because I know Cot's on my side with the James Wiseman thing. Before we bring him on, we got a damn. We bring our guy, Reggie Sykes. What's going on, man?
Oh, what's
man.
Going what's going on, Big Dollar? What's going on with you?
God bless America. What's going on, man?
Oh, man, everything's going good, man. Just got back from Vegas and that heat, man. As soon as they opened up the plane door, it went in 30 seconds for the whole plane was burning up. So, yeah, everything going good, man. I can't complain. I'm glad you put me on before the dummy and everything, man. That's a smart move because your program's going to go downhill once he comes on.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, but, yeah. JV, I heard something bad about you, man.
Uh-oh.
About?
And I couldn't believe it.
You went down. You with the James Wiseman character?
I'm with it.
Thank you.
I'm with it.
Thank you.
I'm with it.
Hold on. You know what, Brandon Reed? Hold on. Give me 2 seconds. I'm going to find the picture. I'm going to find the picture for Thursday, Reggie. I was with Reggie Sykes. We was in a bar, you know what I'm saying, on the east side called A Peace of Mind when the Pacers made that dumb, stupid trade or whatever, free agent. I was with Reggie Sykes. He was with me. He saw my head go down, and like it was a notable Pacer move. So I know Larry Bird came up with this crap. I was with Reggie Sykes.
No, Larry Bird
don't
have enough to do with the Pacers.
With Andrew, I don't believe it. Andrew Bynum, we remember they brought Andrew Bynum that wreck. Roy Hibbert's confidence all to crap.
Stop it.
This is two different players.
They did.
You gotta think about
he was with it. He was with it then, and I told him, Reggie, you make him a mistake right now. And I'm telling
JB, you didn't believe in Tyrese.
The Pacers have made some couple of bad things, but overall, the trades they've made have been good. Besides the guy that had a 2 year, got kicked out a year for 2 years, that was a bad trade. But when the Pacers bring you in, you tend to play better. Look at Sabonis. He played good. Look at Victor. He played good. Look at Jalen Smith even. He played good. When the Pacers bring you in, you tend to play better. Look at Obi Toppin. He's played better. The thing about Wiseman, you got to think he's been hurt a little bit, and he only played 3 college games. And if you look at it, over 17 minutes, he averages 7.5 points and 5 rebounds. If you put that in a 20-minute perspective or a 30-minute perspective, that's a double-double. I just think the Pacers, if he comes in with the right attitude, and really what we need is he don't need to be able to shoot the 3. We got enough 3-point shooters. He needs to be able to rim run. He's 23 years old. He's going to run up and down that thing. He's going to rebound, and he's going to dunk the ball, and maybe shoot a 10-foot. I mean, I like Isaac, what's his name, Jackson, the leaper.
Mm-hmm.
But with Jalen Smith, though, you need somebody but with Wiseman. And I hear people talking about Subway. What's his name? From Kentucky. I like him, but he is truly on the side to be a center, you know. And at some point, he may get his chance. But I think Wiseman is the way to go. It only costs us, $14 million for 2 years. That's some change compared to what the collective bargaining is right now. You know, I'm on board for this. I want them to make that move. I didn't think we need to get PG. He don't want to run. We don't need him back here. He's on the back end of his career. Philadelphia overpaid for him. We didn't need any of the other high-priced friends. I did like Bridges if we could have got him. It was going to cost us a whole lot of money. We probably wouldn't be able to sign OB back also. Hey, and then you got to think you got next year, you got Turner's contract coming up. Next year you probably going to have Nembhard, because if I was Nembhard, I wouldn't do a contract this year. Because next year he would get even more money. And then after that you got Ben Mathurin's contract coming up. You know? So you
should
have 15 million for 2 years ain't going to hurt you too bad.
Reg, did you buy a when you were out there in Vegas, did you buy a Bronny James jersey, Lakers jersey?
Oh, wow.
Man, now let me tell you something, man.
He's being disrespectful.
I think that was a
question. People want me to ask it.
No. Ain't nobody told you to ask that. but that was a dumb pick. But if I was James and I was powerful, I would have did the same thing. People do it all the time for their kids, you know. They leave him inheritance. That may not be nepotism. But, you know, he helped his son get a job. But shit, my father helped me get on out here in Rolls Royce. If I had that kind of power, I would get the same damn thing. I ain't mad at him. And, you know, I don't like James. I like James Arthur for the things that he does.
We know.
Other than that, he's a flopper. He's a flopper, you know. Okay. It is what it is.
Well, I'm glad you're on my side, Reggie, on the James Wiseman thing, man. The kid just needs minutes. When he plays over 20 minutes, he's averaging double-double damn near.
Right. And I just think the Pacers are good with big men.
By the way, John, I just saw a message on got sent to me. The latest report with the Clippers, after all that shit going down with them, trying to get the Paul George, the James Harden, all this. Report is the Clippers are going to focus on attracting a new set of stars for the 26-27 season. The goal for the Clippers is to be back in position to attract a max-level player as soon as 26. By 27, Leonard's current contract will expire, just like the Clippers took 2 years to bridge for Lob City in 2013. They're looking at a short-term setback to identify who will lead their next era. They will be targeting a Devin Booker and Anthony Edwards.
Why are Devin Booker's name in a lot of trade rooms? I heard that Houston was trying to get Devin Booker or either KG. Why would Phoenix want to trade Devin Booker?
I'd rather get rid of Durant over Booker.
Yeah, well, they got new ownership, and he didn't came in, and he's put his thumb in the pudding, and he kind of messed up things. He's the overreaching owner that nobody people kind of ignore, man. So they had a pretty decent. The one dude, the general manager, he's played for here, Jermaine Jones. Y'all remember him?
James Jones. Yeah, he went to the Miami Heat and won a championship. He was drafted out of Miami.
Give him respect, John. Damn.
His little cousin. I go back and edit it in post, man. Don't be trying to correct me on my own show, damn it. Anyway, the point is, man, he's out there making safety moves, and then this new ownership comes in and doesn't fire him but tells him to fire everybody else and then bring in Kevin Durant. So, like, what are you supposed to do? So they fired Monty Williams unfairly. They traded the one big to Portland. They got back. Mm-hmm. What did they get back in return? They got swept. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But, in the fight, they fired Frank Vogel, man. So, you know what I'm saying? They're supposed to, everything's probably kind of massive. But I don't think the way basketball and the way that team is built, it's not going to work out. They'll get swept again.
I think the model of three superstars is out and done with. The model is people are going to start going with the Pacers. Maybe two superstars, but you got to have a bench. Pacers get either their starters get a good start, the bench comes in and maintain it or increase it. You can't have three superstars and then 12 sorry people because, okay, they'll get the lead, but when the bench comes in, you're going to be back down 20. You know, and that puts a lot of minutes on getting started.
Right.
So I think that's the model of basketball is done.
I'm just curious, Reg, in your mind, imagine if you could just essentially plug and play. I'm not talking about just the stats. I'm talking about because I know you watch. You go to the game. Consistently. Imagine if Ben Mathurin was with his team. What would that look like? Would they have gotten swept?
No. We wouldn't have got swept. It would probably went six games. Boston probably would have still won because of our experience level. But I'm very – okay, I hate to admit it, y'all.
Uh-oh.
Me and Dura have been on the same page with Wiseman.
Uh-oh.
We've been at the same level.
He just called you a genius on Facebook.
I hate to admit that we're – I mean, I really hate to agree with dummies sometimes. But, you know, the sun shines on a dog's ass twice a day, and it has shined on Kyle's ass twice. He's been right. He called me yesterday, man, the Pistons cut Wiseman. We got to get him. I'm like, well, damn, that's pretty smart. Maybe I won't call him a dummy no more. Maybe I'll just call him slow.
Relax, Rich. Right. Relax. Don't go full bore. We'll stab you in the back at some point.
Well, I hate to admit when I have to agree with him. But he's been right on point. The only thing I don't agree with him with, he's one of those people that believes in trading T.J. McConnell for assets.
Yeah,
and I just think we need that energized Bronny off the bench.
I agree with you, not him, on that.
But I understand what he said. He said T.J.'s trade value won't be any higher than what it is right now.
It'll be all right.
I'm saying that about Nembhard.
You said what?
I'm saying that about Nembhard. Nembhard's trade value is the highest it's ever will be right now.
Man, I say we keep them together. And, you know, I'm happy for Jalen Smith. He gave us a discount for 2 years. But if he's going to get paid, man, you better go get paid.
The Bulls
you know, Chicago 27.
Yeah, the Bulls over crazy. Man. If he
got hurt this year, his 3-point percentage that went up. He can't even guard centers because he gets muscled around a lot. He's better at a power forward than he is as a backup
I'm going to tell you like I told Brandon. Obi Toppin's contract, you can get 2 years into, you can get out of. That's what they get. The Pacers gave him a little bit of money, but they didn't give him enough money that they can't get out of.
Yeah.
If this kid, Furphy from Kansas, developed and can get his head out of his rear end because he played like a little kid, you know what I'm saying, the second half of the Big 12 season in Kansas. But if they can get him developed and matured up, like he can already shoot. He's as athletic as Obi Toppin is right now, and he got a better shot. He just ain't got the, you know what I'm saying, he ain't played no anybody's NBA minutes, man. But they can get him.
Leave him down at the G League for 2 or 3 years and monitor his progress.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
John, your boy, Paul George just said in a tweet, I quote, "I hear the noise. You now woke the bully."
They're going to get clamped up, man. They're going to be going to make another trade after next year.
All right, Reg, I gotta pull you quick. I got to bring Cod on, and then we got to wrap. But I thank you for calling, man. It's been a while.
All right, brother.
Super. Thank
you. Made my
paces.
All right, let's bring on Cod. D-Cod, you got to – 4 minutes, 5 minutes.
You know, I told you guys the other day, right, that I'm willing to give up some of my minutes for my man, Matt. So I got no problem with that. And I was going to complain about Reggie, but since he complimented me so well, I'll give him a pass, too. Great call for starters with Matt. Love that.
Thanks.
Love the whole interview.
Yep.
Great stuff, right? We talked about this, you know, the James Wiseman thing, a little bit of nauseam, a little bit. Again, we got to see what we've got because we don't the front court depth took a hit with Jalen leaving, and I think with a 2-year deal with a team option, there's not a lot of pain for the Pacers. I don't understand, JB. I've been messaging you. I called you yesterday. You didn't answer. You probably knew I was going to get on you. So. I just don't see what the pain point is with regard to Wiseman with a 2-year deal with a team option for the second year, considering we lose Jalen. I think it was a good move. It was a cost move that was really good. I know I talked about some other guys coming in and play, Hardenstein, even Ayton. But I think from a talent perspective, and a guy that needs a new start. The guy's 23 years old. He's the same age as Kinect with the Lakers. Okay, the guy, you know, to Reggie's point, he played 3 games in college. Okay, you know, Golden State threw him in the trash. You can say what you want, and there are some people saying, "Well, I think that Draymond had his back." No, they didn't have his back. They gave up on that kid after 1 year because the next year he was injured, and then after that he was in the G League. So people were
right.
talking about they had his back. They didn't have his back because it shows in the actions, right? So let's see what happens. I still think that that it's an opportunity for him to resurrect. This guy was a McDonald's All-American, top high school player. Penny Hardaway put him in a bad spot by paying his parents and him the ability to come from Nashville to Memphis. So if you do a little bit of homework on it,
right.
it was because of Penny was registered as a booster because he donated $1 million to Memphis the year before. That's why it became an issue. So
right.
let's look at this as an opportunity for him to move on. Listen, think about this. He went to the cesspool in Detroit for 2 years. He played with the Saginaw Strangler and Draymond in Golden State. You think those guys supported him in his challenges as a 19-year-old kid? I think not. This is his opportunity.
Well,
and, you know, as much as we knock Turner, guess what? Turner has an opportunity to mentor this kid. Turner's going to be in his 10th year, and he's seen a lot of he's seen a lot. I think this is an opportunity for him. If Wiseman doesn't produce here, maybe he is just a journeyman, and that's it.
I'd rather take a shot on it, though.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you got nothing to lose at this point because you didn't mess with your core, right? You didn't take anything away from your core. And what you did, you added a 7-foot guy who's as athletic as any 7-footer we've seen since anybody. We haven't had a 7-footer that was as athletic as James Wiseman. 7-footer, JB, not 6'9", not 6, you know, 6'8 and a half. 7-footer.
Yeah,
so we can talk about Antonio Davis. We can talk about some other guys. We can talk about my guy from Mississippi, the skinny high school, Jonathan Bender, 7-footer. But the difference was he was a 7-footer at 190 pounds. So I think there's an opportunity here to see what we've got and let's go from there. And then if we've got Isaiah Jackson as our third guy, we're still in a good spot because we know what we can get from Isaiah, right? So I think it's an opportunity to see what happens. I'm really excited about this coming season. I know I've been talking to you guys about
right.
big guys coming in and play, but I think, you know, from a cost perspective, I think now our team is set. But don't blink. Don't be surprised if Jairus Walker and maybe next season's number one may look to go to Brooklyn for our guy, you know, Cam, that we talked about, Brandon,
man,
we talked about that, right?
Don't start that.
I'm not saying I'm okay with it. I'm just saying don't be surprised. Because think about this, JB.
We need to go ahead and let Jairus Walker become the Thad Young that he's supposed to become.
With Jairus Walker, with us adding, our big guy, and then of course re-signing Obi Toppin, that doesn't say a lot that they think about Jairus Walker. Let's just be honest.
I heard the.
So
I heard the quote.
Go ahead.
So all right, D-Cop, we got to roll, my man. But pleasure.
All right, fella. I know you guys went over and everything again. Like I told you all, and I'll take credit for this. I told you guys about Matt Gatt. I told you all. So that's my dude, man. So get him in the rotation, man. He's worth it for sure.
Oh, yeah. He's coming
Thanks.
Back on.
Appreciate
you. All right, fellas. Y'all be safe. Take care.
All right,
John. Man, two-hour show tonight, JB.
Hey, man,
and we didn't
that
even get everything we needed to.
Nah, man, that means on the playback, man. Y'all, well, people can go to Twitter. They can check you out on Brandon Reef, you know what I'm saying, on X. They can check out Three Foolish Men on X, or they can check out Crossroads Sports on X, or they can go to Instagram, Crossroads
yep.
Sports, or, you know what I'm saying, Birdsong 74, you know what I'm saying.
Hey,
I
was good
out,
this morning. It was a good thing to wake up to, Jimmy.
Man, I woke up inspired. I just got tired of all these other voices, except for my own, talking about NBA free agency and, like, what their thoughts was, man. And, you know, I just had to put it out there, man. We had a great show tonight. Where you got to say a little bit. I got to say a bit. Hell, our guest talked a little bit about the changing scope and landscape of basketball, we know D-Tot's on the game plan. D-Tot and Reggie's on the game. They are the game plan of the Kansas basketball. They're talking about James Wiseman. My goodness, man. But, like, no, we had an excellent show tonight, man. And I know we had a lot of folks, you know what I'm saying, I seen kind of chime in on the Facebook Live, man. Thank you, you know what I'm saying, for chiming in as well, man. We're going to try to do it bigger and better again next week, man. I don't necessarily have a trick up my sleeve just yet, man. So next week, man, just be looking for another surprise, man. For that being said, I know, you know what I'm saying, I don't know how much time we got left, but with that being said, thank you, Scott K. Nichols State Farm Insurance, for being our sponsor. Thank you, Maverick Cup and Motorsports, for also being our sponsor. And I know there's other couple of people out there to kind of help us navigate, you know what I'm saying, yep. Push out there throughout the algorithms, man, and I appreciate them as well, man. Until that next time, next week, I have been Jonathan Burson. That's been Brandon Reeves, Crossroads Sports, man. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Have a happy 4th of July, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content. Where's the best place in Indy to go for fireworks? The Boom Boom Room. The Boom Boom Room is the only carrier of Ganja brand fireworks in Indianapolis. They also have poppers, fountains, bottle rockets, novelties, and even quiet fireworks. And this year, 7-inch canister shells. See the huge selection of massive fountains and grand finale sets. And save money with their backdoor pricing. Check out the Boom Boom Room Indy on Facebook for more information. Or just stop in and see them at the corner of Thompson and McFarland on the southeast side.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.